Today on the School of Podcasting's morning announcements, I've got proof how podcasting can boost your business.
It's the School of Podcasting's morning announcements. Here's Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005. I am your personal podcast coach, Dave Jackson, thanking you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to come and listen to little old me. If you're new to the show, this is where we talk about all things podcasting, from planning to promoting to producing to monetizing, all points in between, because everything you need to create a successful podcast you can find in one place, and that is schoolofpodcasting.com. Quit wasting your time asking Uncle Google, where are the free tutorials that are outdated, that are talking about things that went out of business 3 years ago? Everything you need, your time is valuable, is at the School of Podcasting.com. And I am fresh back from speaking at a writing summit in Louisville, Kentucky. Had a great time. This was the first time this event was thrown. And it was kind of cool because it wasn't a huge audience. And so it was real intimate. You got to know almost everybody at the conference. And when you get a room full of writers together, everybody's creative, and it was just a great time. It was thrown by Larry and Peggy Decay of the Business of Writing Today.com. They have a great podcast. There's an example of how she's an author coach. She wrote the book, Podcasting, Right. How about self-publishing? There we go. Self-publishing for virgins. And you can find that at thebusinessofwritingtoday.com. And just had a great, phenomenal time. And I've got to do this presentation. I did a presentation on not so much podcasting, but how you can be your own webmaster. And I compared Microsoft Word to WordPress. And it was really, really cool because I've been a technical trainer for over 20 years, and it's always interesting because when you do a presentation, you always want to have control over any outcome in your presentation. You don't want to leave things up to chance. So I had three different versions of this presentation for this one. I did another one on making money with your podcast, and if you're interested in that, check out my book, More Podcast Money, at morepodcastmoney.com. But my first presentation was on how you can be your own webmaster, and I decided to do live. I created a website literally in about 4 minutes because it is that easy. And it was interesting because I decided, okay, I'm going to do this live on the internet, which meant I had to trust that in this case, the University of Louisville had reliable internet access, which they did. So that was really cool. I'm like, all right, this is working great. And then I decided to even push the envelope further. And I asked, is anybody here that's thinking, oh, there's no way I could be my own webmaster, I do not get along with technology? And a bunch of people raised their hand, and I picked a somewhat older woman out of the audience. So I asked for a volunteer, and she came up and actually posted something using WordPress just to show that, yeah, it's not just for breakfast anymore, kids. It's really that easy. And it's kind of a letdown where people go, really? That's it? Wow, And I was like, yeah, you can be your own webmaster and you can be a podcaster. Now, if you hear screaming in the background, you probably can't, but I'm obsessing over this at the moment. Apparently, my neighbors have decided here on Sunday night to, you know, do a human sacrifice or something in the backyard. But if you want to make your neighbors noisy, all you have to do is press record on recording a podcast, and they will massacre their children, mow the lawn, start a weed whacker, whatever it is. So if you hear children screaming in the background, it's nothing that I'm guilty of. It's my neighbors. But it was a great time. And by trade, I am a technical trainer in the corporate world. I do that. I do podcast consulting and as well. And so I love podcast consulting, but I am a veteran classroom teacher. And when you get me in a classroom and pull my string, I'm ready to go. And I loved the opportunity to share with those people and just had a great time. So thanks to everybody. If you're coming, if you're one of my new Kentucky friends, thanks for finding me. And I will say this right up here up front. If you are a person who does not have a website, And not only do you want a website, but you want to have a podcast on your website, please contact me. Because here's what happens. I'm going to send you a link to order your web hosting, and it's going to be around $7 to $9 a month. That's all you pay. And then I earn a commission from that. From that commission, I'll set up WordPress for you. I'll install all the plugins to do your podcast. All you're going to need is to supply the words and the graphics. And I actually have resources for you to get the graphics relatively inexpensively, as in less than $100. And then I'll give you access to the tutorials at the School of Podcasting. So not only will I set up your website, but then you can go through all of my tutorials, my step-by-step tutorials, and learn how to manage your own website. And in the end, all you've done is, again, pay for 1 month of web hosting. And then obviously each month you'll pay another $7, $9, whichever one you get. And you can also get a free month of media hosting by going to Libsyn.com by using the coupon code SOPFREE. So if you're brand new, and even if I did meet you in Kentucky, if I just described you, I don't even have a website, Dave, but I know I want a podcast, contact me. It's a great deal. It is. You'll hear my guests today are Connie and Sheila from ConnieandSheilaTalk.com, and they talk about trying to create win-win situations for their clients. And to me, that's a win-win. Now, I could, if I wanted to, charge you to start your website, but I've already been paid by the commission from you ordering the hosting. So, you know, you pay next to nothing. I get paid a nice commission. You get a website. Sounds like a win-win for everybody. So if you're interested in that, my email again is dave@schoolofpodcasting.com. Just put in a quick start in the subject and we'll get you going. But this interview is a little longer than I usually do with interviews, but here's the thing. We've talked about this before, that the number one ingredient of a podcast is passion. And what people have accused me of is not putting enough Dave into this podcast. I just talk podcasting. I don't talk really a whole bunch about my life. And that's really because I get kind of bored when people talk about what they had for breakfast. I want to get to the meat and potatoes. But I'm trying to incorporate more of that. But here, we're going to meet Connie and Sheila. They are real estate people. And they started a podcast and they said, okay, we're going to create the podcast that we want to hear. And they decided to incorporate things that make them think, things that make them cry, maybe things that inspire them, in addition to good old standard real estate talk. So you're going to hear that. And I knew of them. They're actually, I believe they were Cliff Ravenscraft, who's another friend of mine. He's the podcast answer man and another podcast consultant. I think they were Cliff's first client. And so here we are catching up with them 102 episodes later. And if you have a business, you're going to hear how a podcast can boost your business. But if you say, well, I don't have a business, listen to them talk about how they are connecting with their audience. And then also listen to how you will hear, at the very end, I ask Connie about her book. And you hear Connie's personality come out more in that as she's just talking about her book and giving back and sharing your story. And you see why their podcast is the way it is, because it's got a bit of Connie in it. It's got a bit of Sheila in it, and it's got real estate. And a classic example, since, I mean, they're going to mention Cliff Ravenscraft, and I have nothing. People always want to go, ooh, do you, like he's my arch enemy or something like that. Look, I talk about Daniel J. Lewis. I talk about Ray Ortega. They're my friends. We're all podcast consultants. But realize that some of you may connect with me because of my style, and some of you may really go, that Dave Jackson guy is weird. And you may like Cliff's style. You may hate us both, and you might like Ray. You might like Michael Bell, the new podcast tech coach podcast, brand new, got two episodes out. I actually interviewed Michael on this show when we talked about Feedburner versus Blueberry, and you can find him at podcasttechcoach.com. And, Michael, thank you for the shout out to my podcast. So there we go. That's what we do. Podcast consultants like to cross promote each other, but there's an example of people doing the same subject. And we all have different histories. We all have different passions. We all have different styles, but it didn't stop any of us. I mean, there's a lot of people doing podcasts about podcasting. And so you're going to hear where, number one, Connie and Sheila like to talk about real estate. And it's funny because they started talking some of this stuff, and I'm like, I have no idea what they're talking about. But I love it because you can hear their passion. And you'll hear where they've made some nice money because of their podcast. And here's the other thing. Here's a great thing. Their customers were asking for a service that they weren't providing. Well, hello, they finally said, and you'll hear how they decided to start adding that service. Now, where did they get that information from? From their audience. How did the audience know how to contact them? From their podcast. And this is one of the things I say in my presentation this weekend. You don't make money from a podcast. You're like, what? Didn't you write a book called More Podcast Money? Yes. What I mean by that is most people, there's an asterisk there, unless you're selling your back catalog, do not make money from the physical MP3 file, from the physical video file. You make money if that's what you want to do. You don't have to make money with a podcast, but if that's your goal, you make money not from the physical digital file. You make money from the relationship you build with your audience. And listen to this conversation with Connie and Sheila from ConnieandSheilaTalk.com about how they are benefiting from podcasting. And I am joined by Connie and Sheila. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for having us.
In awesome. Stereo. Awesome. And let's just start off with the easy stuff. Tell us about your podcast and where people can find it and stuff like that.
Yes. Well, we have a podcast on iTunes and on our website at ConnieandSheilaTalk.com. All right. And it's called Connie and Sheila Talk, Real Life, Real Estate, Real Fun.
Yeah.
And we're out of Nashville, Tennessee. Not that that's where you have to get it.
Yes. Well, it's free on iTunes, or you can go straight to our website at www.ConnieandSheilaTalk.com to see all of our episodes. And we have just a little over 100 now. So
awesome.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
That is an accomplishment.
Yeah. You understand.
Yeah.
And we did celebrate our 100th episode like we were a television show. Mm-hmm. You know, filming our 100th episode.
Well, yeah, we pulled out eight outtakes from some of the better, you know. So it was interesting.
It was fun. That was a fun podcast, fun episode.
And what do you guys talk about on your podcast?
Sheila and I are real estate investors in Nashville. We both have our realtor license. And so that is how we make our living. So predominantly we talk about real estate. But our tagline is real life, real estate, real fun. And so there's many times that we will Skype in an author. Doesn't have anything to do with real estate. It's just real fun stuff. You know, books that we like.
Yeah, we love books. We love talking about, you know, different avenues of books, different thoughts. And then we also focus a lot on business, just running, whether it's real estate or not. Mm-hmm. Some of the things we've learned from our real estate investing business pour over and go into any aspect of running a business. So we have aspects of that in there.
Sometimes we use the real, well, to say about the real life part too, we will get more I don't want to say metaphysical, but you know, more spiritual.
We have a hard topic and so we really
talk about emotional things. Not emotional, but you know, sharing emotions. Mm-hmm. And just maybe getting down into the heart of the matter.
We have three segments. We have a first segment is our famous quotes, and then we'll read posts or emails from listeners. And then our second segment is usually our main topic, whatever that's going to be. And then our third segment is the heart topic. And in that one, that's where we kind of open up and just share what's going on or something. It doesn't have to be something so paramount. It could be something small, but that touched either our heart or someone else that we knew.
We did that because we didn't want to be just a real estate podcast. Mm-hmm. Because we learned when we started after a few years into real estate, when we talked real estate all the time, when we ate and slept real estate, that not everybody wants to talk about real estate like we did. Yeah. We talked about it all the time. Yeah. And so when we decided to do the podcast, we thought, let's merge, you know, what we know, what we do, what we love, mm-hmm. with every other aspect of our life. Hmm. You know, and so we can be very serious, you know, maybe say something very profound and make somebody think, maybe cramp your brain a little bit. And then we might be talking about tenant issues, and then we might be talking about
me mispronouncing a word.
Sheila can't say mediocre.
Come on, let's hear it.
Mediocre.
But yes, you can do it now. We've been to speech therapy. The other day she kept calling it mediocre. And I was like, what is mediocre?
I was dying laughing.
And she said, well, you say mediocrity. And I said, it's a totally another word.
So that's where our show goes. That's our show.
So, a little grammar thrown in for fun.
You know, there's a Grammar Girl. Have you heard of Grammar Girl podcast?
Yep. That's right. She's been on Oprah.
Yes.
Gotta love that.
Yeah.
So what inspired you guys to start a podcast?
Well, that, you know, I started writing a book several years ago, mm-hmm. and really wanted, well, now I gotta back that up, really, because we talked to a friend of ours about starting a website. We mm-hmm. wanted a website where we could blog or where we could post products that we sell. And our friend said, hey, you don't need a website, you need a podcast. Mm-hmm. And we said, what's a podcast?
Seriously, that was about 2.5 years ago.
Hey,
we had no idea.
Okay. PodCamp Nashville is coming up in 3 weeks. You need to be there.
You should be there.
So we went mm-hmm. there. And we actually met Peggy and Larry Decay there. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're here now. So it's funny, you know, small world. But
that's right.
So we went and we met Cliff Ravenscraft, mm-hmm. who is the podcast answer man,
yep. mm-hmm.
and told him kind of what we wanted to do. And he said, yeah, he could help us do that.
And I would like to say this, not as a plug for you, but anybody that's listening to your show, mm-hmm. You really, if there's someone out there that wants to start a podcast, they need to look to someone like yourself.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely.
We had our show up and running just like that. I'm not a tech person. It's not difficult, but it can be. And so people like you that are out there, if someone seriously, and everybody, you know, it's a really good way to validate yourself, you know, to whatever your product is, if you're a dentist or mm-hmm. you repair cars or whatever it is, folks like yourself, you know, can really help us get online and get out there and get our message out there.
That's why I don't do my graphics. I'm not a graphic person.
Right.
Yeah. I let graphic people do that.
Brilliant.
I can try, but it looks like somebody who isn't a graphic artist did your graphics. Yeah.
Dave, I think your presentation yesterday, though, was awesome because it let a lot of people know that with WordPress, mm-hmm. you know, with just a little bit of time, it's, you know, it's like most software programs, the longer you play in it, the more you learn.
Yeah.
And
I heard a couple of people talking about your presentation.
Yeah, and so you made it look really easy. I think you gave people the confidence. I think people are leaving here with the confidence of saying, hey, I think I can do this.
That was the whole point, because I was worried. What I did, since you, Mr. Listener, wasn't there, I made a website in front of people. Mm-hmm. And I was hoping I wasn't trying to do a here's how you know, don't remember what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I just want you to see that in 10 minutes I made a website, and I pulled somebody up from the audience who said, oh, there's no way. Technology and I are not friends. And I had her make a post.
Exactly.
And that was
brilliant.
So,
there were people in here that were a little older who this is, you know, a fearful area for them. Mm-hmm. And I heard two of them in particular talking about that, and that brought them some comfort. So that was a great way.
Well, I think when you set up, when you installed WordPress, and you did all of this in, you said 10 minutes, so you're being gracious, because I think it actually took you 4 minutes to go from no website to a website. And so I heard a couple people gasp, like, you mean that's it?
Yeah.
You know, I can do that.
It's one of those things where when you get done doing it, I remember when I got my first episode up, I was like, really?
Yeah.
That's it?
I'm up.
Like, yeah. Okay, cool. And then the second one's even easier because you don't have to do all the other stuff again.
Right.
But I think one of the main reasons that we started was because we know now that we have a message.
Mm-hmm.
And as does everyone. I believe that everybody has a message. We all have a story. And I think when we figure out what that story is and we can tell it and share it in a way that it resonates with other people, that's part of the reason I think we're here. I think we're supposed to encourage and inspire and motivate each other in whatever field you're in. And so for us, being in real estate, we kind of merged it's the Reese cup, it's the your peanut butter's in my chocolate,
the peanut butter and jelly.
Ours is, hey, your real estate is in my my mindfulness. Mm-hmm. You know, we're mixing these two things. But I think that in any career or vocation, you know, mindfulness can be merged with that. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think Sheila wants to be known as just a realtor.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Very cool. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I want to get to one of your stories. I'm sure you have more than just this one. But I've always said the fact that you guys have 102?
102 mm-hmm. episodes.
So there's a pretty substantial back catalog there. And mm-hmm. if somebody goes in and they find your podcast, they can actually go back and listen to all these podcasts. And what's great about that is, unlike a business card,
mm-hmm.
where here's my business card, and I might have my picture, and there's my contact information, you know, if you can get somebody to your website, mm-hmm. that's really going to start building that relationship. Mm-hmm. And you guys have a great story about mm-hmm. how somebody basically got to know you mm-hmm. without you knowing he was getting to know you.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
It's a story that I share. It goes into if we're talking real estate, it explains how you can validate yourself to other people. If we're talking podcasting, it explains how you can validate yourself to other people. I mean, it's a brilliant
story. Let me
say
this. Sheila and I saw a story on 60 Minutes several months ago, and there was a job coach on there because he was working with people who had been out of work for 3 and 4 years, and they were, you know, midlife, feeling like, okay, nobody's going to hire me. I'm 55 years old. I'm out. You know, I can't get a job. And he was explaining to them the importance of being connected socially, social media, having a presence on the internet. And he said to them, if you do not have a presence on the internet, you are irrelevant. Mm. And that just blew our mind that,
It's true.
But it is true. You can find out so much
it's
information.
Harsh, but it's true.
Yeah.
I don't want to say that you're irrelevant. Just like here at this book conference, we said, okay, we would rather say that if you don't have web presence, then you're making your book irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
But with knowing how to just Google anybody, you can pull up and get information on them. If you're not in that area, in that position where people can just pull some background on you, what you do, what you say, you know, who are you, you're missing your opportunity to even market yourself. You know,
yeah. Well, and the story that goes with
that. This is kind of a marketing that we didn't even know was happening.
It really did. There was a gentleman in Nashville. He's a retired songwriter, and he had 5 condos that he outright owned. And he was getting ready to retire. He wanted to get on the road, just travel, and he didn't want to be a landlord anymore. And so he went into his bank one day, and he said, to the manager, he said,
do you know anybody that wanted to buy 5 condos?
I want to sell my condos. Do you know anybody that would want to buy them? And she said, who happened to be our banker, mm-hmm. she slid our card across and said, call these girls. And so he took the card, he went home, and instead of calling us right away, he actually read our card, and he saw where we had a podcast, and he listened to several episodes, mm-hmm. 5 or 6, several. Mm-hmm. And decided right then he liked us, he trusted us, and he wanted to do business with us. And so then he called, we set up a meeting, and worked out the deal. And so the podcast legitimizes us. It builds a trust with people you don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
I think the importance of that, too, is we are who we are every day. We're the same people on our podcast. So you're not going to get, you know, Connie and Sheila on the podcast, and then when you meet us, because that would be awful. That would be like one of the worst things I think that could ever happen to me when somebody meets me, that they say, you are nothing like I expected.
Exactly.
You know, I thought, you know, you're this way on the podcast.
We're very transparent. Nothing. I mean, we share information. On that particular podcast, we talked about that deal, how the deal fell out, you know, what the end results were, and we share that. We're very transparent. We want people to learn.
Let me share that real quick. Yeah. So this gentleman had these five condos, and he wanted to sell them for $80,000 a piece. And so we knew they rented between $750 and $795 a month. So we're calculating the numbers in order for us to have, we'd like to have an average $200 a month cash flow off of our rental properties. Mm. So when we did all the numbers on that, the most that we could pay for the condos was $65,000. And so we told him, you know, we can't pay 80, all we can pay is 65. And so we're talking about $15,000 difference. Doesn't sound like a lot, but then when you've got five of them, that's suddenly, that's $60,000. So he said, no, I have to have 80,000. And so it was kind of like, you know, well, I don't know that we can do a deal here.
Right.
But Sheila and I both believe that when somebody is in a position where they want to sell a house, you know, 99 times out of 100, we want to find a way to do that. Because I think there is always a way. If there's a problem, it can't be a problem without a solution. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, okay, let's find the solution. He's got the problem. Let's find the solution. It took us a couple of days, but we crunched numbers long enough. And then we went back to him and we said, okay, you know, we've been taught by mentors to do every deal as a win-win transaction. We want it to be good for both sides. And so if you want your price of 80, then we need some help over here on rate or term. And what we could do is we could pay you your 80 if you will carry a note. Since you don't have a mortgage on them, you could carry a note for, give us 5 years. Carry the note, principal only. We can't pay you interest.
Mm-hmm.
And but we explained to him, we wanted to make sure he knew and he understood that his $400,000 that he has in this deal that he was selling to us in 5 years is going to look more like $290,000.
It's just a principal buy down.
Sure.
So the principal. Another thing is the condos are worth maybe $85,000 or $90,000. And so for us to go borrow on them as investment property, we're going to get lending for maybe 75-80% at the most loan to value. So as we pay down, and we pay him quarterly, so he didn't even want a monthly check, he wants it quarterly, and then he didn't even want a check, he said, just put it in my bank account.
Yeah.
So that's what we do. But in 5 years, those condos will be paid down from $80,000 to $59,000, and then the value may even appreciate over the next 5 years. But even if it didn't, if the condos didn't appreciate at all, we could still go in and borrow as much as like $65,000 a piece,
mm-hmm.
get them financed, give him his $290,000 then. And then at that point, we said, so what are you going to do with the $290,000? You're just going to invest it and maybe make 4% if you're lucky.
Right.
Mm-hmm. How about you just lend it back to us? We'll put it on individual residential properties, and we'll pay you 7% interest only on your money. And you'll make more money than you're going to be able to make in the market or on, you know, on anything, so state bonds or anything, you're not going to make 7%.
Our podcast did that. And I mean, and that's an infinite amount of return. It's just unbelievable.
And he agreed to that immediately. He said, I like that. And so it was kind of, I don't know that I expected him to take it, you know.
Right.
We had a couple of options. It was going to, you know, you want A, B, or C. And we didn't get past A. He said, I like that.
Yeah.
And so then it was like, okay, the importance of, I have to know that he understands that his principal balance is reducing every quarter. And he's like, yeah, I get it. I was like, okay.
The price was important for him. That was what was important.
Literally shook hands and had a deal. Which I don't recommend on a $400,000 deal, just to shake hands.
Well, he gave us the keys.
He gave us the keys. But we did, just for to make our attorneys happy and everything, we did later draw up something. It was a very generic, you know, very simple
contract. Well,
he's
protected and we're protected. I mean, we own them, but he's the bank. He's the lender. So, I mean, that story tells your folks, you know, anybody that's listening to this podcast, how important.
That was a great deal for us because at $200 a month, we pick up five of them, and so it just increased our cash flow by $1,000 a month. Not to mention, in 5 years, when we owe $59,000, say $60,000, let's say they're worth $90,000. You know, that's $30,000 equity position times five.
On top,
just
yeah.
increased, you know, a net worth of $150,000. We didn't put a dime into the deal.
Right.
Didn't cost us anything.
And it came from the podcast.
And it came from the podcast. And he said, I feel like I know you. Yeah. I trust you. Yeah. I trust you.
He's a wonderful person.
Apparently,
by the way.
He gave you the keys without any paper.
Yes, yeah, I did.
That's the one I'm like, he did what?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Any other stories you want to share while we got it going? Or is that, I mean, that's, I don't know if you can top that one.
That one, as far as value, equity, that's the strongest one. Mm. But we have people that send us, I'll tell you this, we have people that send us emails and post on our comment sections how important they heard something that we shared that maybe we did right or wrong that maybe saved them some money. When you get those kinds of responses from your listeners and they are sharing with you how you helped them, it just jazzes us up.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a give and take. I mean, we get as much from that, you know, as they do on the other end. We enjoy it. That's why we do it. Podcasting for us, it's something we can do together.
Mm-hmm.
It's something we obviously we don't have a problem talking. You can tell from that. and we enjoy it, but we enjoy hearing from our listeners because we have a small community, and we, you know, within that, you know, we had a lady that had an issue with a contractor had bugged out on her, and she had a lien against her home because he had re-roofed her home, but he failed to pay for the supplies at the, you know, the roofing supply company. So now the roofing supply company's got a lien on her house. So she
unfortunately she didn't have a contract with the roofer, with the contractor, and he wound up running off with her money and didn't pay for the goods, and so then the supplier put a mechanic's lien on her house.
And so it's those kinds of things where we can step in and give them recommendations of what we think. We have no idea, quite honestly, how much it does legitimize us out there. I mean, lenders, potential lenders, whether they're commercial or private, listen to us. It's infinite. You cannot. You just don't know.
From a realtor standpoint, too. Sometimes a buyer client. You know, we've had some buyer clients that are very on their game. They know what they want, and so by knowing what they want, then they know they want a realtor that knows what they're doing. And so knowing that they can go in and listen to several of our podcasts, especially the ones we're talking about real estate, it's almost like we're interviewing for the job or something,
you know.
But we don't have to do that. They just call and say, I know you know what you're doing. I know you know what you're talking about, and I want you to help me find a house.
We had that happen recently.
Beautiful.
And same thing listing.
Yeah.
I want to put my house on the market. I want you to sell my house.
Mm-hmm.
And so up until last August, we didn't even really offer our realtor services because we just used our license for our own benefit, for our own company's benefit. And then we had so many people saying, hey, will you find me a house, or hey, will you sell my house? And it got to, and I don't know how many times we said, you know, we really don't do that. We don't work with clients that way. And then we thought, well, that is stupid because, one, we're giving up an income source, you know, just another stream of revenue. But, two, we're not taking what we know, what we've learned over the last 10 years, and share that with somebody who doesn't know real estate and doesn't know how to purchase a house. And so it was, you know, we need to share this information. We need to share our talents, our skills, our strengths, and help these people. And so it's been really rewarding since it's been 1 year that we've actually taken on clients, whether buyer or listing their property. And we get business from the podcast.
Yep. Yeah. Awesome. Now, two more questions, because we've all been here all weekend. I want to go home. What would you say to the person that says, oh, I was going to start a podcast, but there's already six people doing podcasts on that subject? Because you guys could have said that.
Oh.
I have an answer, too, but you answer
no,
first.
Well, I will say this. We were the first in our area with what we're doing. So we were the first. But if someone else wanted to get into it, we would encourage them to do so, because it's just what Andrea Gardner shared a while ago. She said that when people are, they want to write a book or have a podcast or whatever it is they're doing, the fear is, oh, there's already somebody out there doing this, or somebody's already got a message similar to this. And her words were, don't let that stop you, because everyone does it differently, and you're not going to resonate with everyone. So that person that's already doing it, it may have a different focus, or the message comes through to different. You're going to connect with the people you connect with, and they're going to connect with the people they connect with. Mm-hmm. And so I would say, if there's 16 podcasts in your area about real estate and that's what you're doing, do it anyway, because your spirit is going to be speaking to people, and you're going to resonate with people. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter if it's said 18 times; it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. There's a wonderful poem, and I started to say it's by Mother Teresa, but it isn't. She's the attribution usually goes to her, and you can look it up because I can't recite the whole poem. But it's called "Build It Anyway." Mm-hmm. And so what she's talking about, because we use things as excuses to not do something, and there's really nothing new under the sun. Mm-hmm. And so if we said, this would be what Mother Teresa would say if she's in this time, right? She would say to someone, if they said, I want to start a podcast, but there's already so many out there. She would say, start a podcast anyway.
Right.
Because just like what Sheila said, just like what Andrea said, it all comes from your perspective, and your personality will deliver it in a different way than everybody else, because we all are so unique that we may resonate with an audience that the other podcast doesn't, you know. And so we all have very similar traits, but as much as we are alike, we are different.
Right. Yeah.
And those talents, I think, is what we hide. Maybe what we fear from, you know, it's like Marianne Williamson says, you know, that is our greatest fear. It's about being who we can be, you know. I don't know, I can't recite that either, but it is about, you know, our greatness. It is about being great.
Is the word mediocre in there?
No. No, it's not about mediocre, it's about being great. And that's what we fear, is that we, I think we really fear failure more than
I would rather sit here
trying to be great
and not try and go, well, I could have done it.
Yeah, oh man.
Rather than try it and fail and go, I'm a failure. You know what? It's much safer to just stay here and go, well, I coulda.
Right.
There's a line, and there's something about, like, somebody says, who am I to tell, you know, or who am I to share? And she reverses it by saying, who are you not to share? Mm-hmm. You know, who are you not to teach? Mm-hmm. Because we all come at it from a different angle, a different aspect.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, this just came in my head. And I think you guys are the two to answer. I've never asked somebody this question, all right? But I think it's going to be interesting, or it could be my first edit point.
Okay.
Tell me about your audience.
Oh, wow.
We have a wide range.
Very diverse.
Okay.
Well, I was going to tell you, I'll tell you one thing that made me feel really good one time, and First, let me just say I respect webmasters, because I think anybody that can figure out all this computer stuff is a genius. And so I know you, Dave, can do it. And
yeah,
Cliff,
but you're spitting out all these numbers and jargon, and you're going to stand up going, I have no idea what she's talking about.
But Cliff Ravenscraft, who helped us get our podcast up and going, which we did in one day. Mm-hmm. He came down, came to our office and got us set up. But what Cliff has said over, you know, several times is, I don't care a thing about real estate, but, you know, I listen to your show, and I get something out of it, because the principles that you share, they're cross, cross-vocation.
They're business practices that can be applied across the board, or it's life lessons that can be that we all certainly can learn from, you know. We really try hard to spread that out. And some of the things that we talk about, too, applies to homeowners, and how many people out there are homeowners, you know, or tenants. If you're a tenant, sometimes it directs to you. So we try to touch on different things. And
we have some small business owners that are not in real estate investing. We have a couple truckers that we hear from, you know, that listen to us on the road.
That's very cool.
Yeah, it's really interesting. But I think that life lessons, I think that you know, inspiration, motivation crosses, it can blanket anyone and everyone. And so we do try to share that. We like being encouraged ourselves. I need that. I need that every day from people. I'm kind of that self-help junkie, and I want, you know, I want motivation. And so in turning that back around, you know, it doesn't matter if you're a doctor or a ditch digger. You know, I think you'll get something out of our show, and I think that that's what our audience reflects.
Well, it is, because we hear from them, and probably I would say no more than 25 or 30% are true real estate investors.
I was going to say, it's not even half.
Yeah, and then you have a larger percentage that want to do it, so they're still getting their feet wet.
Right,
and then you have probably, I would say, 40% easy that could care less about real estate. Mm-hmm. They tune in. We try to make it fun. You know, we try to talk about current things, current books.
Speaking of books, I think real estate investing is much like writing, in the sense that there's a lot of people. Statistics are 81% of Americans want to write a book, but only 1% to 2% actually do. Mm-hmm. It's amazing the number of people that we meet that say, I want to do that. I want to get into that. I've always been interested in real estate. I want to get into real estate investing. A lot of people do that. And so we say, well, what's holding you back? Why don't you? It's a great time to get in real estate investing. Oh, well, you know, right now it's just not the right time. You know, it's never going to be the right time. It's always going to be the job, the kids. I don't have the money. I don't have the time. You know, and if you want to do it,
you got to make it happen.
Do it. If you want to start a podcast, start a podcast.
You get up an hour earlier, stay up an hour later, or you drop something. You look. The biggest thing that we tell people when we're working with students, we have students that we coach for real estate investing, is if you're really going to do this, look at your daily schedule right now. If it's full, to do this, you're going to have to take something out. So what are you going to take out? Because, you know, there's only 24 hours in every day, and you do have to sleep. And so it's just being real, you know. And we try to be real with them. I don't want to take on a student, and they pay us the fee that they pay us, and then they go, I can't do it. I don't want them to fail. So give up something. What is it that you're going to give up? And that's what, you know, that's what we encourage everyone to do. If you want to start something new, if it is a podcast or if it's real estate investing or if it's I want to be a dentist, you know, realistically look at what you're already doing, and you know your schedule's full. Everybody's schedules are full.
Right.
What are you going to drop? And add that in there.
Here's something that really surprised me that I learned several years ago, many years ago. You're talking about what you have to do, what's on your schedule. I read somewhere that 80% of what we do, we could pay somebody else to do and free up that much of our time. And so if we could pay somebody else to do it, and we could go do what we really want to do, go follow our passion, go, you know, make our dreams come true, why don't we? And the reason we don't, let me tell you, is because we're all too cheap to pay somebody to do something that we can do ourselves.
And that's a good thing for your audience to listen to, too, because they do need your services. They're not experts at this. You want to sit around and spin around in a chair for 6 months trying to figure out how to do it, or do you want to pay somebody like you to get you up and going?
There are two forms of currency, time and money.
Oh, exactly.
You're paying in one or the other.
Exactly.
You know, and if you're a 12-year-old kid with nothing but time, by all means,
yeah.
You podcast for free, buddy.
I know that's a great point, because I know that many people asked us after we got a couple shows up, you know, even the very first one, we had several people say, how did you do that? How did you do that so quickly? We didn't even know you were going to go into podcasting. And we said, we didn't either. Three weeks ago, we decided we were going to do this.
We didn't even know what a podcast was.
And,
no, seriously.
And they said, I've been trying to do this for 2 or 3 years, you know.
It's pay somebody. Write a check.
So I think that's it. We did a podcast one time about how to make more money. Mm-hmm. And it's our mentors told us, we got busted so many times when we first got into real estate investing, because our mentors would call us and say, hey, what are you doing? And we'd say, we're painting, you know, the living room over on Smith Street or something. And they'd go, oh, well, of course you are. And we're like, write a check. You know, you're learning how your time is becoming more and more valuable, not because we're becoming better people. It's just because we're becoming more knowledgeable.
Well, and we could be out looking for another house that's going to generate $20,000. But rather, we're going to save $600 and paint this ourselves. Yeah. But we, you know, if we went ahead and paid $600, get somebody in there that can do it. We could go out and find the next deal that's going to generate $20,000 or $30,000. So, you know,
it boils down to too, for as long as it takes us to paint a house or whatever, you wind up saying, okay, if we were going to pay ourselves, this would have equated out to $12 an hour, $15 an hour. Mm-hmm. So we just set the value of our time at I'm worth $15 an hour. And not that there's anything wrong with that wage,
right.
But if we know that we can go out and make $150 an hour, why are we painting a house? You know?
It was a hard concept.
And Sheila says something I like. She says, let's bless others with what they do. They do that. There's painters.
They're great painters.
It's
why
their business.
Painting? Yeah.
Pay them. Let them get the business. Pay them. We can go out and do something else. We could not have done the podcast had we not learned how to do that. Mm-hmm. And Sheila and I both come from, you know, middle-income families. We weren't raised rich and
working
paid for
class.
Everything, yeah. But we learned how to bless others with jobs that they do, free up our time, so then we can go and do something that we really want to do, that we would rather be doing. I mean, I love real estate, and I actually kind of like doing landscaping sometimes. I'll go get, you know, play in the dirt. And Sheila knows, she's, you know, when I want to do a house like that, she knows that's just therapeutic for me. It's not a, I want to do this because we'll save $500. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's kind of artsy for me. Mm-hmm. And it is therapeutic. Mm-hmm. I need just to have no brain kind of stuff. You know?
Right. Yeah. And, well, where can we find your show again?
You can find us at www.ConnieAndSheilaTalk.com, and that's Sheila with Sheila. And if you Google Connie and Sheila, it'll bring it right up too. And then also we're free on iTunes,
and we're also on Facebook at ConnieAndSheilaTalk.com.
Facebook, yeah.
Did I say Facebook?
Yeah, no, you did. But it's
okay.
But it's the .com is as part of the tag of our Facebook page. So it's ConnieAndSheilaTalk.com.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Yeah. And then last but not least, now that your book is out, you talked about how you started this with your book.
Yeah.
Tell us about your book.
Thank you for that. this is the second writer's conference I've ever been to. First one I've ever gotten to speak at or actually been an author at. So I wrote a book that was published in April called Thinking Consciously Rocks, because I believe that what we think about, we bring about. I believe we manifest in our lives what we are thinking about. And I had never realized I turned 48 Friday, and I don't know how I got through 45 years of not ever realizing, hey, maybe I should question what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. You know, we're told what to say and what not to say, how to act and how not to act, but we're never taught how to think.
Mm.
You know, and so I think a lot of people don't know how to think for themselves, and so the book is about that. It's about paying attention to your thoughts. It's about making your life what you want it to be. And so it's, you know, if you are a negative thinker and you wonder why your life isn't going in the direction that you want it to go in,
right?
That's the reason. And it's about goal setting, and it's about making your dreams come true, it's about living the life that you want to live. And I think so many people have a sad existence right now.
And then they become a self-fulfilling prophecy.
It does. Wow, it really does. There's a guy named J.B. Glossinger that started morningcoach.com, and he has this line, I love it. He says, we're only here for 80 or 90 years at the most. If you're lucky, let's make the most of it. And we can't make the most of it by going around saying, I'm broke all the time, and, you know, gosh, I wish I made more money, or I'm sick all the time, or, you know, I wish I could find a mate, but nobody will ever love me.
Right.
You know, that is the self-fulfilling prophecy. But for me, what really started the book was in April 1994, my brother Carl was murdered in Nashville. And so 18 years later, actually April 20th, 2012, Sheila had a book release party for me. It was the 18th anniversary of Carl's death. And so the book started out with a little bit of that, and thinking that maybe I could help people overcome the loss of a loved one. But I realized in writing that I cannot do that. I can't tell anybody how to grieve. I can't tell anybody how long it's going to take. And for me, it was a real transformation because I thought that I was going to help other people heal, and it was actually me that needed that. Mm-hmm. I think that was God's way of saying, okay, if you want to help, because that's kind of what my prayer had become, God, how can I help? How can I be of service? What can I do? Because real estate had given us time, freed us up a little bit, that we could go out there and say, what do we want to give back to the world? Mm-hmm. And so that was the idea of, oh, I think I'm going to write a book, which was kind of comical to me because I was a horrible student and didn't even like to read in school. And so as I began writing that book, I realized I have a whole lot of work to do on myself before mm-hmm. I can tell anybody else how to do anything. And so it's a lot of different things in there, and it's not just directed to people who are grieving. Although if you're grieving the loss of a loved one or a marriage, a divorce, you know, if you're divorcing or you just lost your job, I mean, whatever it is, we all grieve life happenings. But it's the difference of, you know, you've heard, you know, the difference of if you fall, do you get back up, you right. know, or do you just stay on the ground? The successful people are the ones that get back up, pull themselves up, get back on the horse that threw you, that kind of thing. But when we are in some kind of grief mode, it's so hard to do that.
Yeah.
We want to stay in bed, pull the covers over our head. You know, we feel like we're walking in quicksand. Life slows down. You know, depression sets in. Darkness comes, and we think the world doesn't care about us. But I think it's our duty to process that, to get through that, to go on living life and tell people, hey, it's just another thing. You know, right. another thing to overcome. And as you do that, you become stronger and stronger as, I think, an individual. But I think you also learn to appreciate life a lot more and make each day count.
My wife was at that point a operating room nurse. Mm. And nothing makes you appreciate what you have until some doctor hands you somebody's leg.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
And I'm like, how was your day, honey? And she's like, how was your day? And I'm like, it was awful. I had this and that, and my students weren't paying attention, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, how was your day? Well, we had to saw off somebody's leg. And I'm like, you know what? My day wasn't so bad.
That's right.
I was like, holy cow. How do you? So it's... It's different.
You know, it does put a great perspective on things. Yeah. It gets our attention.
Well, that's what I was able to do, seriously, when for 15 years when I thought about Carl's murder, or not Carl's murder, but when I thought about Carl, I went to the murder. I went to the unsolved case. I went to the fact that somebody got away with murder. I went to all of the darkness, all of the negativity, all of the sadness. And it really, the process of writing this book allowed me to understand that I have the power to change my thinking and to look at the fact that I was 29 years old when he was killed, and I got to be his sister for 29 years. Mm-hmm. He was my brother for 29 years. You know, where's the gratitude in that when I can't get past the fact that somebody hadn't been charged? Mm. You know, it's like, so I just had to flip my thinking around and really think gratitude, think peace, because I certainly wasn't at peace. I was very, you know, upset inside, turmoil, that kind of, you know, frustration or whatever. But now having that peace, I think it's that peace that passes all understanding. Mm-hmm. I don't understand it. I don't know how, just by taking a thought and saying, you know what, I'm not going to think about the murder and the fact that it's an unsolved case. I'm going to think about the fact that we got to, you know, have a wonderful childhood. And we played together, and we rode motorcycles, and, you know, as adults, we played tennis together, and those kinds of things. It makes me feel, I can feel the joy of having known him versus, oh, crap, you know, it's another anniversary date, it's another death date or something. And I think you can do that with anything. I think anything in life. We can look at it. It's that old, you know, it's the glass half empty or half full.
Right.
It's our choice. We choose to be positive or negative. And I think we kind of draw it to us. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of that heaviness. Mm-hmm. I don't like feeling like that.
Yeah.
I choose not to.
Awesome. Well, Connie and Sheila, first of all, where can they find your book?
My book is on Amazon.com. And we have a blog at thinkingconsciouslyrocks.com.
I love the title.
I do. And there's a a blog box, a subscription there if anybody wants to put their email address in. We will send you each updated blog. Awesome. We welcome that. Thank you,
Dave.
It's so
nice to meet you this weekend. You are sharp. We've enjoyed it.
Yeah, sharp.
Really enjoyed your presentation.
Well, you guys have a new subscriber. I'll be honest. I've heard of you.
Yeah.
Okay, through Cliff Show.
Right.
But I'm like, well, I'm not a real estate guy. But I got 5 hours to kill on the way home. I'm downloading your podcast. So you have a new subscriber. So.
Nice. Thank you.
So thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks a lot. We enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
I love that conversation because here's the fun thing about this. This was at the end of the weekend. And at this point, we're all sitting there with our duffel bags and all our displays. And when I hit stop on this, it's time to walk to the car and go home. And I said, if I could just borrow you for 15 minutes. And they're just such awesome people. And so obviously, they just have huge hearts. And they're just awesome. I'm big, big fans. And I thank them very much. Thank you, Connie and Sheila, for taking the time to share just part of your story. But you'll also notice, one thing I want to point out here, they've been doing this for 102 episodes. Now, I'm not sure where that story came in from, but there's another key point here. How did that go on? What was the key piece of that? Their friend, the banker, had a business card. And when we talk about promoting your podcast, one of my tips is always, number one, get some business cards. Get some, and I don't mean go to Office Max and buy some business card paper. I mean put out some money. Because even if you put out a lot of money, a business card is like a nickel a piece. And so get some business cards and give them to everyone you know. Because they are going to be your disciples that are going to go out and spread the word. So if somebody says, hey, I need to sell a house, they can go, oh, here, talk to my friend. Or if somebody says, yeah, I wish I knew somebody that, oh, here, listen to my friend's podcast. That's the key piece here. And that piece then led to them going back to the website. And from there, their back catalog took over. So if you want to know how to grow your audience, number one, have phenomenal content that's real, that's honest, that's passionate, and then make sure all your friends know about your podcast, your inner circle, your outer circle, and give them business cards. If anybody asks about this, hand them the card. Here, put this on your refrigerator at home in case somebody asks. So thank you so much. I know this was kind of a longer show, but I'll have links to their website out there. I've linked to the book. If you want to buy Connie's book, you can buy it right there on my website. That'll help support the show because that'll be my Amazon affiliate link. If you are going to be buying anything at Amazon, just go to schoolofpodcasting.com/Amazon. That'll take you right over to Amazon.com via my affiliate link. That's a way for you to support the show. Now, the best way to support the show is just to join the School of Podcasting. Quit listening to success stories and start your own. And if you don't have a website, you can start your own for the price of 1 month of hosting. And you get little old me, your personal podcast coach, to help you along the way. If you're worried that you can't do it alone, you're not going to be alone. I have won awards for my customer service. I don't like to brag, but I have. And you're not going to be alone. And we have, when I say everything, if I don't have everything, let me know. I will give you your money back. That's how strongly I feel about the School of Podcasting, but it's today. Today is the day you start your podcast. Not tomorrow, because tomorrow, if you say tomorrow, you're going to go, well, by tomorrow, I mean, you know, the weekend. And then the weekend means, well, by then, it might, no, today, start your podcast today. And I'm here to help you with up-to-date tutorials, step-by-step instruction, great resources that will help you save money. It's all in one place, schoolofpodcasting.com. Thank you so much for listening. And until next week, I hope to see you on the inside. Have a great week. God bless. And I will see you real soon. Class is dismissed. Today, yes, today.